Triple M's Dead Set Legends is back.
The world is watching.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
And I thought I was a bit of a legend.
Triple M footy newsbreaker Jay Clark.
I might do this show nude.
And horse racing royalty Emma Friedman.
What's wrong with you two?
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends. Great to have you with us for a big morning of sport. Joey and Jay looking very rugged up this morning as we brace the polar vortex that's taking over the East Coast.
Yes, that's true. Good morning, Emma. I've gone the tracky pants this morning. I'm not trying to dress up and impress anyone. It's cold. Yep. I'm rugged up. And Jay, you've got the footy this afternoon, so you've got about five layers ready to go.
Yeah, fair to say I'm not looking forward to the boundary riding role today at the MCG, Melbourne versus Collingwood. Fascinating game, but I'm going to be shivering my little legs off, fair to say, down there on the boundary line. But what about last night, Em?
I know.
Were you watching? Could you believe what happened?
Well, to begin with, I was watching the first quarter and it looked like rain, didn't it, on the TV screen in Canberra. But then we got a closer slow-mo view and we saw that it was actually snow falling in the nation's capital. A record-breaking night for the AFL. Never a game has been played in snow. This is what it sounded like.
It is starting to come in and it's sideways.
Hello.
And that looks like
snow.
A few sheets of snow, Johnny.
It is snowing.
Johnny, I think you might have gone early. There's a blizzard on its way.
It is snowing at Marty Grove.
There is snowflakes dropping all over the ground, boys, all on the crowd in the grandstands. People are moving back under cover. I just want to know who the genius was who scheduled it for this match at the middle of August in Canberra.
Oh, that was awesome. And do you reckon, Jay, Emma, there were a lot of people that tuned in last night just to see if it would snow? I know I did because the build-up was so great, the talk about the weather, the talk about the long-sleeve jumpers, is anyone going to wear it, what are the Hawks going to do? I did tune in to hope there was snow. And then when we saw it, it was like, there we go, we've witnessed some history, and it was I really enjoyed it.
I was watching it in my lounge room with my five-year-old and my three-year-old daughter, and fair to say, I couldn't hear the TV because they were going bananas. They were so excited just watching it from the lounge. I'm like, shh, I'm trying to listen to BT and Bruce sort of call the snow. And my two kids were going absolutely crazy.
What about James Warple? Daisy Pearce asked him after the game, you know, about the snow, and he said, I've never ever seen snow before. I've never been to the snow. I've never seen it. So the first time he experienced snow, he was running around out there chasing the leather.
What about the short and long jumpers? We know that Clarko put a ban on any Hawks players wearing the long jumper last night, so we saw no Hawthorn players in the long version of the stripe. But there are a couple of Giants. I noted that Toby Green, a very tough guy, was wearing the long sleeve number. What's your take on the long sleeve? You like it? You don't like it?
No,
is it wussy?
You read too much into it. I mean, we can argue Toby Green was one of the best players on the ground last night. He was enormous for clearly the Giants' best player, and he wore the long sleever.
But Joey, you're a long sleeve jumper.
I always wore long sleeves in training in the middle of winter. I just liked being warm and get the sweat up and feel all that. But I think, no doubt, the psychological advantage, I think, that Clarko played, the psychological edge that Clarko had his players in, you could tell that they were up for the contest and they were prepared. Now, whether part of it being the no long sleeves, you reckon had a little factor, but also Clarko would have worn them up and made sure that they performed in those conditions.
Well, we saw that he ran a lap of the ground the day before.
Just to let him know, hey, boys, it's not that cold. Yeah, and then after
quite
the game,
the rig,
he came
wasn't
out.
It
was, wasn't it? And then he came out in shorts and a polo after the game. So he was, and you know what? That's what you love about a coach that sets the example and says, hey, boys, I'm with you.
Yep.
It's not that cold. You'll be fine. Get out there and play.
However, I did enjoy the cutaways to the Hawthorn bench where they've got a bucket of hot water to keep their hands in and their fingers in. And also, I think I saw one of the boys drinking hot soup at some point.
Really?
I think Isaac Smith was getting into the English breakfast tea.
Yeah, the tea. So that's when you know it is absolutely freezing. Is there anything more painful on a cold day of footy when you cop one on the end of the fingers and it jars
your
fingers?
Notice there were a lot of sort of half smothers last night. The boys didn't really want to stick out the one hand, which is understandable. But I played a game in Tassie, but this was under 18 footy in Tassie, and it was that cold that we used to rotate to the bench to warm up. But one of our boys did the same thing, put his hands under hot water, but then he got pins and needles because of the cold to the hot, and he literally couldn't come back out on the field because he couldn't feel his hands.
We're a happy team at home.
Goes on to O'Brien again. Hand pass to Poppy. Piuopolo from 40 slides at home.
Comes to Henderson. He's a bit proppy. He's got a slippery ball. He nails it. What a
goal from Ricky Bobby Henderson. Long ball to Bruce. One out, gives Haynes a bit of a shove. Look at Luke Bruce. He's going to kick a goal. He has.
Punched down the ground level by Phil Davis. Piopolo forward pocket.
Oh, runs it along the ground. He's got a couple, Bobby.
And there it is. Hawthorn on the road, have beaten the Giants emphatically.
Time for our Friday night footy review, and round 21 kicked off last night in snowy conditions, as we mentioned, in Canberra. The Hawks toughening up and putting together a great performance, boys, recording a 56-point win. How about Alistair Clarkson, though, getting those boys up for the contest in what were trying conditions?
Masterclass, wasn't it, Joey? I mean, so as you sort of touched on before, his whole attitude towards the cold weather on a Friday night in Canberra, it has to have an effect on the in-play. I mean, is this why we regard Alistair Clarkson as the best coach probably in the game's history or thereabouts?
Yeah, no doubt. It's that ruthless approach. It's that ruthlessness of any, you know, we used to speak about any time, anywhere, doesn't matter the conditions, you know, big stage, give yourself the best opportunity. And the Hawks showed that, and they were up for the contest. And it was always going to be a question of, you know, your motivation levels are going to be after really high in conditions like that. I thought the Giants would deliver better because there's so much motivation for them. There was a top four spot up for grabs. They're in finals. The Hawks seemed like were almost out of contention. But Clarko, the genius, got the players to lift and play terrific football, and they handled the conditions much better.
And tell us about the stoppage game. So, I mean, that's, as you know, with your Freo analysis role, like all teams are going towards winning the ball across halfback or winning the ball on the counter-attack and then scoring from there. That's where the scores are coming from. GWS, we know they're a clearance team. Hawks are a stoppage team, and they showed that last night that they absolutely nailed that side of the game.
Yeah, it's been part of the Hawks game for most of the year. That it's probably hard, but a little tactical explanation is, and you saw last night James Sicily dominated, you know, a lot of the time across halfback being a free player.
Yep.
Because the Hawks almost are happy to be outnumbered at the stoppage by one. Let's say we'll have one less, so we'll have 7v8.
But pressure on.
But we'll have a free player behind the ball. Yep. We'll just put it, if we win the ball, beautiful, but we'll just put enough pressure on. So even if the Giants do win it, it's not a clean possession. They're not going to be able to run and chain out. They're going to quick kick it. Sicily will mop up all day, and then we'll counter-attack and play going back at them. And that's what Clarko's done most of the year, and it's why Hawthorn have been in so many games this season. It's probably affected their ability to score huge because they're not this attacking team that will run in waves and numbers, but it's they're stopping the opposition from scoring, and they're giving themselves chances. And to be fair, they are still in the finals hunt.
Well, that's the thing. The next two games for them, the Suns, and then they face West Coast, the Premiers. Do they make the eight?
Look, it's probably still unlikely the way the ladder is, but they'll beat the Gold Coast Suns at Marvel next Sunday. But what it does, Emma, it goes into round 23 with a chance. And who knows what can happen in round 23. There's some big games. Port Adelaide play Freo. The Bulldogs play Adelaide. So round 23 is going to be enormous, I think. I think it's really going to determine who plays finals. And all you want to be is in with a chance. And I think the Hawks are going to certainly do that now.
You mentioned Sicily. I'm so impressed by this guy. I mean, we talk about his fiery temperament and the silly decisions at times or whatever. He'd be just about the best rebounding defender in the competition.
Yeah, that overshadows his talent. He should have been All-Australian last year. Yep. He didn't miss four games late in the year.
He has to be in it this year.
He's got to be very close again to being All-Australian. He is a wonderful player. Everything you want about a halfback. He's strong hands, intercept. He's a beautiful user. He can defend when he has to. Yeah, he's a beauty.
And I'm going to talk to you later about James Warple. I've got to pick one for you about James Warple.
He's a star.
He was enormous last week. He was enormous again last night. How good is this man? We'll get to that. But what about the other side of the coin?
Yeah. The flip side last night was that GWS were knocking on the door of the four, and now they're not going to make it. You would have thought. Jonathan Brown on the coverage last night saying they can't win the premiership after a performance like this. But this is what Coach Leon Cameron had to say after the game.
Oh, look, I think we are embarrassed, let's be honest. It was probably one of our worst losses for a long time. So we need to put our hand up and take responsibility for that. Embarrassing is a pretty harsh word, but we have to put up our hand because it was one of our worst losses for a long time.
I'd say it is their most disappointing performance. I tipped them to win last night. There was no intensity around the contest. They were never in the game last night, Joey. And look, I know they've had some close misses in the past couple of years, got to the preliminary finals and bowed out. But there's no way I could trust the GWS Football Club. And they don't have a massive fan base, so maybe they're not under a lot of pressure most of the time. But they got a lot of talent. But Are they going to squander this whole premiership window that they've had?
Oh, there's two parts to it. I think, one, we're being a little bit harsh. We don't talk enough about their injury list. Last night it flashed up on that they're missing 10 walk-up starts in their best 18. And we're talking about big guns. You know, Kelly, Cornelio, Ward, Hopper didn't play last night, Finlayson, Himmelberg. Like, they are missing some serious talent. I mean, so it doesn't matter how much depth they've got, they're missing some guns. But secondly, I think you're right. I think they've shown enough, particularly this year, you can't quite trust them. Just when they look like they're going well, they put in an ordinary performance. They've done it about 3-4 times this year, which says to me, you know, under the heat of the finals, you're going to have to win 4 games in a row. You can't trust them. It's not to say they can't win it, but I think it's highly unlikely that they can put 4 strong performances together to win a flag.
Jay-Z, let's get into the footy news, starting off with Stephen Cornelio.
Yeah,
is he going to Carlton?
excited there, Jay.
Sorry. Footy new has this effect on me. Yeah, it just sort of jumps out of my seat.
Good news.
No, look, in the first few months of the season, you spoke to anyone at GWS and they were adamant, so confident he would be staying and be the captain of the club next year. But the longer this season has drawn on, look, it's a flip of the coin at the moment. In fact, I'm leaning towards him actually going now. I think there is real optimism around the Carlton Football Club that they can get Stephen Cornelio on a 7-year deal. He can ride shotgun alongside Patrick Cripps, and then they catapult up the ladder, and he enjoys, you know, a fresh chapter of his career in Melbourne. Now, GWS absolutely love this guy. They think he's an absolute key pillar of the club. But if he had already decided, I reckon he would have already committed. So as it stands, there is some real optimism at Carlton around Stephen Cornelio wearing the navy blue next season.
Yes, I got some mail as well. And there is real optimism because he hasn't made a decision.
Yep.
And I know someone that had a coffee with him not long ago, and he believes it's probably 55-45, still in favour of him maybe staying at the Giants, but it's definitely 50-50. But probably what is not true is that it's confirmed that he is going to leave and go to Carlton, which was being reported that potentially it was going to be almost announced very soon that he'd made his decision. As of last week, he hasn't made a decision, and it's very much 50-50. But that's still pretty good optimism for Carlton.
Absolutely.
If it is 50-50.
And as a free agent, you get this guy for nothing. You don't have to give up a first-round draft pick or 2 first-round draft picks. He walks into the door on, what is it, $1.2 million a season or something like that. And, you know, there's real commercial benefits for a star player to be playing footy on Friday nights in Melbourne on the MCG, other than the graveyard shift, 4:35 twilight on a Saturday. Boot deals, all that sort of stuff. So it'll be fascinating. Remember, he's Western Australian. West Coast have had an interest for a long time as well. But if I'm a Carlton fan, I'm getting pretty excited about this.
Oh, getting excited. Okay, they are words that Carlton fans will be very happy to hear. Okay, let's move on to Jared Ruffhead, because we know that this year he's played a handful of games. Out of favour, out of sorts, out of form at Hawthorn. This was what Alistair Clarkson had to say post-game last night about the possibility about Ruffy getting a farewell game.
Back in 2005, when it was the Nick Hollands and the Johnny Barkers and the Ben Dixons and these sort of guys that made their way out of the side so that Ruff and Bud and these type of guys could get their opportunity. So he knows the history of our club. He knows that we're on to the next generation of players at our club, and he's prepared to do whatever is required for our club to move forward. And he knows he's had his time in the sun, and that it's time for the next generation of players to come through. But having said that, there is sentiment in footy, and if we get the opportunity to play him in the next 1 or 2 weeks, then he might play next week. But he's also very, very understanding that if that's not to be the case, then it won't be.
I think he deserves one, and he should get one against Gold Coast at Marvel Stadium. I'm a champion like Ruffy, such a popular figure. I think he should get that opportunity. I think back to the Cozzy game, the Justin Kaczynski farewell. I think you played in that, Joey. And some of the scenes around that, I will remember for the rest of my life. You know, the connection between the players, his teammates who loved him and celebrated his last game. I think Ruffy should get that opportunity.
Yeah, but that was a bit unique, that occasion. I mean, Fremantle left half their team at home. We had 3 players playing their last game. We'd had a horrible year and we had a really good win. So it was a special occasion, but I'm a bit more like Clarko on this. It's not the be all and end all about playing one more game. I mean, he's played 282 games. He's won all these flags. He's had great memories with his teammates. I don't think one last game is going to make a difference to him. And I understand the sentiment that all these other people want him to play, but does he want to play? And I sort of put myself in those shoes. And if I'd been playing reserves for a long time and then said, look, would you like to have one game and make it about you and do all that? Some players, and I know there are players that would say, well, I'm happy not to. I don't need that occasion.
Is it the tokenism that annoys you about it?
Well, it's not necessarily annoying, but I understand that it's not the be-all and end-all. And I get it would be nice. Absolutely, it would be nice. And if it worked out that way, let's say Mitch Lewis was injured or there was an opportunity, it would be great. But I don't think it's this whole thing. He has to play. It has to be, you know, roughy because of what he's done and because he's a legend bloke. I mean, there are a lot of other players that haven't had that opportunity and it hasn't changed their legacy or their memories of their football career at all.
Yeah, his legacy will remain untouched. Of course it will. You mentioned Mitch Lewis. This is where he actually might be needed because Mitch Lewis got a cork in his hip. Yep, got a bang on his shoulder as well. So he will have a light week on the track. It'll be the big story in Melbourne this week, Jared Rufford. There's no doubt about that.
But the other thing now, and we spoke about it, Emma, the Hawks are now actually in finals contention. They picked up some handy percentage. Only one game out of the eight. We still, as I said to you, this round 21, 22, 23, there's still plenty to play out. So while there's still hope of a finals appearance, does Clarko still pick his best team?
Interesting. Questions. Moving forward for next year, I think Ruffy lands at the Saints next year. They've been into him since February. He loves the footy operations list management space. There's a key role there for him. A long-term deal, could be a four-year deal. He'd help out with some coaching, some leadership, some welfare, Joey. He'd be the perfect addition for your footy club next year, wouldn't he?
Well, I think so. Anytime you bring good people to a football club, it's always going to help. So he's a great football person and a great person, and no doubt he'd benefit the footy team.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Saturday Scoreboard time. Last night, the Hawks big winners over the GWS Giants by 56 points, keeping the Giants to their lowest score ever since they've been in the competition, 4-5-29. It was another Clarko masterclass. James Warple was super, so was James Sicily for the Hawks. Toby Green put up a one-man fight for the GWS, and apparently it snowed in Canberra, if you hadn't heard the
Did
news.
It?
There was some snow.
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. History-breaking.
Are you, Joey, just to digress a little bit, but you know how you wore the three-quarter sleeve jumper for your first game? Did you ever wear the three-quarter pants like I did when you were sort of 17, 18 years old? You sort of rock
with
up
the
to
cargo
those
pants. No.
Yeah, remember the three-quarter
trend? Yeah, and they used to be worn with Birkenstocks or Etnies. Yeah.
Oh, no, I never wore Did you wear three-quarter pants?
I gave the three-quarter pants a go for a while.
I thought we had three-quarters. My first game frame jumper is a three-quarter sleeve jumper. I think it was so that the sleeves didn't cover our hands and get out of the ball, but...
When you're as short as us, Joey, and you're sort of trying to make some moves on the dance floor, maybe I thought the three quarters would give you a little bit of extra
work.
No way.
Not really, to be honest.
Anyway. Cam Smith will break his NRL games record tomorrow with the
Storm.
Yeah, did you know that? Against the Rabbitohs, top four clash. So Cam Smith, another record for him. He just keeps breaking records every week. And the Broncos last night defeated the Cowboys 18-14. The Warriors defeated the Seagulls and Penrith defeated the Sharks. Some soccer news and we'll chat to Dave Davutovic in the second hour. But Aaron Mooy has joined Brighton on a transfer deadline to play with his Socceroos teammate Matt Ryan. So if you want to follow a team in the EPL this year, and we'll chat to Dave Davutovic, as I said, Brighton might be the go. It's got a nice ring to it. Brighton, if you live down the Bayside as well, you can bury for Brighton. And it kicked off last night. Liverpool defeated Norwich 4-1 in the Premier League. The cricket, some big talking points. What are we going to do with our side? Jay, you've got some thoughts, but
I can't see how they change the bowlers, to be honest.
You were adamant Stark had to play.
You said you wanted to eat a box of bananas.
Yeah. Stark didn't play.
Yeah, exactly right. And now you don't want to put him in the side.
Well... He sort of proved me wrong a bit. P City, it's fair to say. One P City, zero Jay-Z.
Yeah, it looks like all the talk is that we're going to go unchanged, although the one change, possibly the opening batting spot. Cam Bancroft failed again in the tour match against Worcestershire. Marcus Harris made a 60-odd. That could be the only change. Emma, do you have any thoughts? Do you stick with Bancroft again for the second test and give him more time? Or do you make the change and be proactive and get another lefty in there?
I'm with Jay-Z on this one. He's just had the toughest year of his life out of the game after Sandpaper Gate. He's played one test. Yeah, it didn't go to plan, but it didn't go to plan for David Warner either. Let's be honest.
That's true.
So I don't think you change that opening partnership just yet. However, I mean... if at Lords they fail again, then we might have
then
to.
Then it's really one all and we'll make some changes.
It was the absolute beauty of Test cricket, though, last week, wasn't it? Like, it's the for as much as we love the high octane stuff of the T20, the tension and drama of that Test match was unbelievable. And I wish, as much as I love the commentators, Joey, and you're one of Australia's finest football callers, but I wish I could have turned the commentary down in that fourth inning just to be able to hear the banter, because Tim Payne was bringing some of his best stuff. Like, you know, when Ben Stokes came to the crease and you heard Tim Payne from behind the stumps said, "Oh, old Sir Ben Stokes, is it?" Like, because that's what the Poms have been calling him, Sir Ben Stokes. So I love that banter in the Test match.
And just some news for the English side. A shame for us, Moeen Ali's been dropped, which is disappointing because the boys were smacking him around the park and he couldn't make a run. Yep. Unfortunately, replaced by Jack Leach, who will come into the side. And Jofra Archer is in the squad, but I don't think he'll play. We might, because Jimmy Anderson's out.
He is because of injury.
Jofra Archer bowling some heat.
That'd be good. I'd like to see that. That'd add an extra element to Lords.
He bowled in that County game. You saw the highlights on social media. He was nasty.
Yeah, so he might play Jofra Archer. But hopefully we can keep him out there for a long time. And he's not used to bowling 20 overs. So we'll see how we go. And, of course, the Boomers have gone into camp ahead of their exhibition games against Canada and the USA. And they announced their 12-man roster for the Boomers. And our man Chris Goulding is part of the team. So there are four NBL players that are in that squad, along with the big guns, Joe Ingles, Paddy Mills, etc. So we'll keep in touch with the basketball news in the coming weeks.
Now, every week, Jay-Z, you often come up with what we call a pick one. Yep. So it's just two options and you
pick one.
Yeah.
Took him a while to come up with that too.
It's difficult, right? Branding. We thought, why don't we open this up to the lovely people of Melbourne?
Yep.
Go to our Twitter page, at Triple M Melbourne, and we are going to put the pick ones up.
Yep.
Right now, so you can cast your vote, and we'll announce the results of the masses, our lovely listeners, after Joey gives his thoughts on air next. But what are the pick ones that people will be casting their votes to?
This is your idea and a great idea, Em, because we've just normally just accepted Joey's word as wisdom. But I want to see what the people have got to say.
Well, I think we'll find that I'm the same as the people. We'll agree on all three. Well,
do you want to know them now, or do you want to hear them now, or do you want to leave the room?
We'll put them now, right? And we'll get your answers on. There's three here. I've got two. You got one, Em. Right. Yeah. First, just say James Warple was eligible for the Rising Star. He's missed out by one game last year. Played 11 games. If he'd played 10, he would be eligible. Who would you give the Rising Star Award to? Sam Walsh or James Warple, who was magnificent again last night? And the other one is...
That's easy.
Who would you rather in your team? Adam Treloar in career best form at the moment. Would you rather...
Say it again.
Adam Treloar. Career best form. Kicking short 70% of the time. Become more efficient, more damaging. Adam Treloar or Dylan Sheil? Which one of those two gun midfielders would you rather have in your team? And Em, what's yours?
My final one for today, because the D's are taking on the Pies at the G. It's the battle of the big men.
Yes.
Grundy v. Gorn. Who would you want as your ruckman?
That's like asking Jay to pick his favourite child. That's a hard one.
Well, they're pick ones. So get your pick one on. Go to at Triple M Melbourne on the Twitter. And on the Twitter, I mean, listen to me, I'm not even on Twitter anymore. I don't even know what to call it. Go and cast your vote, right?
I thought you were going to say, it's like telling Jay, you know, to pick his favourite donut. Could that be difficult too, Jay?
Oh, it's cinnamon, mate. It's pretty easy. We have just announced that we are doing pick one with Joey, but we're also doing pick one with you at home.
Yep.
So if you want to get to the Twitter, at Triple M Melbourne, and cast your vote, a couple of minutes left for these pick ones designed by both Jay-Z and myself. Do we want to kick off?
I think we'll find I'm on the same page as the people.
Okay.
Jay-Z.
Well, let's find out. So if James Warple was eligible for the Rising Star, who would get your vote? James Warple or Sam Walsh based on their seasons? Now, Warple's in his second season, a few kilos heavier, got the extra experience versus Walsh in a stunning first season. Who are you voting
for? That does go against James Warple, that he's got a 10-game head start, basically. He played 10 games. If he was eligible and he only played the 10 games last year, he'd have 10-game head start and an extra year in the system to develop his game, work on his craft, get the extra coaching. Now, Warple's had an unbelievable season. He's going to be a star.
He's been nearly best on.
He has been nearly best
in
on.
In each of the past two games.
What Sam Walsh is doing in his first year, we have not seen it since, I don't think, can you remember anyone that's had a good, he's had a better season than Joel Selwood, who has been the talk of the best first year player back in 2007.
He has been excellent.
His numbers and what he's doing, he's already A grade as an 18-year-old. So I think he's better than, and if you even take away from this year, because I think Walsh is a lock to win the Rising Star. Going forward in their careers, I'd still take Sam Walsh just on the fact I think he's got a bit more outside polish. James Warple's a beauty, contested ball beast, wins the footy. But what Sam Walsh can do on the inside and outside.
All right.
Walsh gets that one hands down.
He's his current second best midfielder and his running numbers are phenomenal. Now, second one, I reckon this is even more juicy. Who are you taking? Adam Treloar career best form or new bomber Dylan Sheil?
Yeah, that's a good one. I've been a little bit, not critical of Treloar, but I think like a lot of people earlier in the season in particular, a lot of possessions, his efficiency and some of those disposals I reckon weren't as effective as he could be. But his last, say, 6 or 8 weeks have been enormous. He's been very, very good. He's winning clearances, contested ball, using the footy much better, breaking the lines. I mean, he's going to break the record, I think, for possessions in a season, Adam Treloar. So I'm going to have to take, right now, I'll take Adam Treloar.
I'm with you.
Sheil does some really nice things, breaks some lines, looks good, but his efficiency. Emma, you're an Essendon supporter. Do you agree with Treloar over Sheil, or how have you seen Sheil's year? Because I've only seen it as it's been good, but not great.
I think his speed is something that captures your attention, and that's something that our midfield absolutely loves, is having him in there just as that speed. But in terms of efficiency, there's been games this year as an Essendon supporter where I've had my head in my hands going, what the hell has just happened? I would go probably Treloar, but just on Adam Treloar, you might have seen him on AFL 360 this week, promoing the new documentary From the Inside Out, which is about Collingwood's year last year in the lead up to that run at the premiership. My goodness.
Brilliant.
What an impressive young man, but also how brave to come out and just to discuss the troubles and the issues that he has been facing and be so honest and open about it. I was blown away, boys. And absolutely blown away.
And the insight into saying what he remembers about after the grand final loss, what did Nathan Buckley say to him? I love you, mate. What did Ross Lyon say to you after you lost a couple of grand finals?
I think I've said this story on air. When he got up and when we lost to Geelong, and he spoke about how proud he was of our group, and he started to well up, and it sent us off in the players' room just to have your coach just speak with that pure emotion of how proud he was of us, despite not getting the ultimate. It's something that sticks with you forever. You'll never forget that. But I think, Emma and Jay, there should be more of these documentaries. I think that we judge a lot from the outside, and we don't really get enough insight into clubs and players, what goes on behind closed doors. And I know sometimes it's a frustration of yours, Jay, that you want more access to see what goes on behind closed doors. And some of these documentaries they produce in America with the NFL teams, they're awesome. Nice. Like even following a club for a preseason and having a look at how brutal a preseason is, how exhausted players are, getting themselves up. I think there should be a little bit more of it to give an insight into what actually goes on inside footy clubs rather than just all the talk that we hear on the outside.
100%. The last pick one, though, it's a big game today. An old rivalry, Melbourne taking on Collingwood at the G. Speaking of someone who also features in that documentary, Brody Grundy, he's having a blind up. But who would you take as your big man in your side, Joey? Would you take Maxi Gawn or would you take Brody Grundy?
If I was going into grand final day next week and I could pick one of those two ruckmen, I think I'd have to go with Brody Grundy. I just think he does a bit more around the ground. He has more impact with his clearances, disposals. He gets back into defence, and that's not having a knock on Gawn. Max Gawn's unbelievable. Like, clearly they are head and shoulders above any other ruckman in the competition. If I had to choose one, you're making me pick, I'll go Brody Grundy.
I'd go Grundy too. And if I was Max Gawn over summer, I'd get a goal-kicking coach. He's not as damaging as he should be.
He could kick 20 goals and push forward and kick a goal a week easily.
His goal-kicking has let him down. So he needs a goal-kicking coach. Go pay someone 10 grand out of your million-dollar contract, Big Maxi, get a goal-kicking coach. But Grundy for me.
We need the results. Hoping that producer Rabsy has these results for us to be able to give out online. So let's just clarify. You have gone with Sam Walsh
over
as your
Warple. Yep.
Yep. You've gone with Adam Treloar as your
Sheil. Yeah, yep. I'd take Treloar. Yep.
And then finally, you've gone with Grundy over Max.
So hopefully the Collingwood supporters out there, give me a bit of love, because I did say they couldn't win the flag a few weeks ago and copped a bit on social media. So hopefully they're back on board.
First one, the public has spoken, 72% for Sam Walsh. So they were on your side with that one. Next one, 74% with Adam Treloar.
Yep.
So they've matched up there. Oh, and finally, this one was a little bit tighter, but Brody Grundy has come out on top as well.
I told you, I know what the people out there know. That's it. They know their footy.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Boys, I do want to promo a prize.
Yep.
That we have to give away very shortly.
What a prize.
Okay, so Dead Set Legends are giving away the ultimate experience to play knockout with the NBA's Jason Tatum. Oh. Like, this is no joke. You could win the opportunity to play KO with Jason, a signed jersey, signed ball, an event tee and cap, a photo with Jason Tatum. It's all valued at $1,500, and it's thanks to Burger Love Australia. Tickets available now through Eventbrite, which is they've got the Play KO with Jason Tatum event on the 21st of August. How good's that?
Imagine if you beat him. In a shit, would you bet?
Well,
you never know. What if you beat him? You go, I beat Jason Tatum in a knockout.
He is regarded as one of the best young talents in the NBA.
Yeah,
he didn't have an amazing season this year, but you go back to the year before and everybody's raving about this guy. He is an absolute star.
He's playing in the USA team that's coming out here, so he'll be part of that, and he's a star, so that'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hold on. We'll give you the cue to call 133353 very shortly to be able to take part in a quiz to win those tickets.
Emma, isn't Joey looking fantastic? The new streamline.
You are looking really good.
Joe Montana. Like, he's sort of, you know.
Are you jealous?
Mate, I just look at you and the pants.
Look at the grin on him.
His pants are falling off him. You know, he's wearing this big jumper and it's just hanging off him. He's in good nick, our man. Things got away from him last year, but he's just.
I was happy to let it get out of the way and then just got to rein it back in.
What's your secret? You're fasting. You're not eating at all, eh?
I am eating, but just staggering the meals and doing some exercise. Signed up at the gym. All those things that you should be doing just to be nice and healthy. Donna Ashton's been looking after me, and I've got a nice program for August. Can get back in shape, and then I can fit into my suit for the spring racing carnival, Emma.
Yeah, we're excited about that. So hang on, with the getting fit and the weight loss, so your aim is to lose how many kgs?
I've probably put on about nearly 10 since I retired from footy. So probably if I lose 8, get back to about 80 kilos, a couple of kilos over my playing weight, I'll be more than happy with that.
You've enjoyed it though.
I have enjoyed it, absolutely. All those
but then what happens after this regime? Like, let's be honest.
Oh, well, let's be honest, Emma. It happens to us all. It'll creep back up and then we can do it again. But I'm hoping to keep it off for a while.
Mate, you are looking good. And even, you know, when we see his appearances on Fox Footy, it does, you know, looking more TV than radio at the moment, Joey, which is great news.
Well, the camera does add a few.
And that is true, the camera does. I did see myself with a double chin and thought it's time to start going on an exercise, on a bit of a program. So that's what it was, the motivation.
Well, football fans will be thrilled that the new English Premier League season began this morning and it's looking to be an absolute cracker once again. To preview everything coming up, football journo David Davutovic joins us with his thoughts. Morning, mate. It was a good start last night.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, fantastic start for Liverpool, and there are many Liverpool fans across Australia. A convincing 4-1 win against Norwich, and their big boys getting on the score sheet, including Van Dijk and Origi, who was the Champions League hero, of course, and Mo Salah. So a great start for Liverpool, and they, of course, will be hoping to push Man City all the way once again this season.
Dave, they were the best ever team to not win the league last season, but they did get the Champions League, which was a little bit of a, I suppose, a consolation, but a pretty special effort. Do you see it as a two-horse race again between Liverpool and Man City?
I reckon it's a three-horse race, Joey. I think Tottenham will be thereabouts again. They sort of dropped off again sort of late last season. They had to contend with the Champions League as well. But look, Man City again, the team to beat. Liverpool, interestingly, didn't do a lot of business in the off-season window. And Jurgen Klopp, their manager, has said, I'm backing these players in. I reckon they're good enough to do the business. But Tottenham have made some really, really shrewd signings in the off-season. So I think they'll be thereabouts. But I thought what last season did, Joey, you touched on the Euro final. You had two English clubs in the Champions League final, two English clubs in the Europa League final. If there was any doubt whatsoever, I think that just confirmed that the Premier League is the number one league in the world right now.
Let's talk about the Aussies. And only a couple of days ago, we found out that Aaron Mooy will be headed to Brighton on a one-year loan after Huddersfield was relegated for this season. He's going to make an impact there, David?
Yeah, you'd hope so, Emma. I mean, it didn't look like Mooy was leaving. It was a really real 11th-hour deal, but a good one for him because the alternative was that he obviously would have played in the Championship, the second tier. But for any Aussies out there with a passing interest in the Premier League, if you're looking for a team to support, it's got to be Brighton and Hove Albion. Obviously, our Socceroos number one, Matt Ryan, is there as well. And they're the only two Aussies in the Premier League this season. So they were in a relegation scrap last year. You suspect they'll be thereabouts once again. But, you know, Aaron Mooy's got 2 years of Premier League experience under his belt now and really highly rated. So you expect him to make an impact.
I was going to ask that, Dave. You expect him to start and be an important cog for Brighton this year? Like, he's not going to come off the bench. He'll be a regular starter?
Yeah, no, for sure. He's a first 11 player. I mean, I'm not sure where he's at for this week. I mean, obviously, he's come in at the last minute. But he actually played the first game of the season for Huddersfield Town. Their Championship season started last week, so he's good to go. Perhaps just, you know, not to unsettle the apple cart too much, he starts on the bench. But, look, he was consistently in the Premier League Team of the Week, and, you know, Sky Sports presenter Jamie Redknapp, one of the greats of the game, constantly was referencing how good Aaron Moy is, how good he is technically. So he's an absolute key player for Brighton. And, of course, the Socceroos, who kick off their World Cup qualifying next month.
In terms of the managers in the EPL, though, Dave, do you think there's anyone under pressure already? I mean, I know the season has only just begun, but that's one of the most fascinating things about following the EPL is that all the money's being thrown around and managers being sacked left, right and centre. Can you see any kind of, I don't know, twists and turns happening early on?
Without a doubt. I mean, look, in football, soccer, I reckon there's probably not as much patience as, you know, AFL and some of these other competitions. But, you know, once you've got relegation, the prospect of relegation, it just adds a completely different dimension to things. So, you know, certainly the three clubs that have come up from the second tier, you know, including Norwich and Sheffield United and Aston Villa, who won the championship playoff, you know, those coaches will be under pressure. You know, the Brighton manager as well will be under the pump too. But, look, anyone that's got high expectations and gets off to a slow start will be under the pump. But it'll be really interesting to see how Steve Bruce goes. He's just been appointed the Newcastle United manager. Rafa Benitez was really popular down there. He got the chop. Look, their owners absolutely despise is a strong word, but they absolutely despise their owner, Mike Ashley. He basically just, he doesn't spend much money. You know, basically, there's no ambition at that club whatsoever. So the fact that he got rid of their fan favourite in Benitez, and although Bruce is a bit of a local favourite as well, I think there'll be plenty of pressure on him this season.
We're speaking to David Davidovic, Australia's number one soccer journalist. Davis, tell us about Darren Burgess. He was the fitness chief at Arsenal for the past 2 years, joins Melbourne. The Demons very excited about him. What do you know about Darren Burgess?
Yeah, you're all over this story, Clarkey. And look, to be honest, he was at Arsenal for 2 years. And I remember just over two years ago, Arsene Wenger, the great manager, basically headhunted this guy. They flew him over to watch a Champions League final, got him over the line. And he had a very senior role at Arsenal, particularly in that first season, which ended up being Wenger's final season. He basically, his office was across from Wenger's. He sat on the bench for Arsenal. He oversaw a department of, you know, dozens in the, you know, the medical and sports science. So he had a really senior role, and he helped overturn what was an horrendous injury record, particularly with the soft tissue injuries. So obviously when the new manager, Unai Emery, came in, he wanted to bring his own people in, but he certainly did a fantastic job for those 2 years, Darren Burgess. And I think he's a massive coup for the Melbourne Footy Club. I think he was already highly rated at Port Adelaide. He's worked with the Socceroos before as well, I think with the Swans too, but I think the experience that he comes back with those 2 years at Arsenal will be enormous for the Demons.
All right, let's put it in the can, Dave. You said it's a race between three, but who can you see taking the title early next year?
Yeah, I think Man City. I'd love to see someone different. And for your producer, Ryan, I'd love to see Liverpool get up. He was up nice and early this morning watching the Reds do the business against Norwich. But look, I really do think it'll go down to the wire. I think Man City won and then toss a coin between Arsenal and Liverpool for second and third.
All right, well, you can get up early and watch all those games. It started this morning or continue overnight. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Journo, David Davidovic there. How are you? Like, you're just throwing names out there. You're going to become a soccer journo now. What's going on with you, Jay-Z? Are just all over it.
Yeah, I'm just saying that Dave's the best soccer journo in the business, and it was very, you know, fascinating.
It was really nice. You gave him a nice compliment, and he gave you a nice compliment back.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It's like a Del Santo Montana 1-2 back in the day.
You wish.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
That basketball competition for those tickets and the playoff kind of details with Jason Tatum coming up very shortly, but let's get into a little bit more footy news, Jay-Z. Starting off with Sean Higgins, will he still be at North Melbourne in 12 months' time?
Well, it's a really interesting situation with Sean Higgins. I mean, back-to-back best and fairest winners. We know he's a star ball winner for the Kangaroos. He is contracted for next year, but there is some talks about a contract extension now. Joey, I think from his perspective, he you'd like some certainty before we head into the trade period. Now, he will turn 32 for next season. And if you're Geelong, you're in the premiership window, you know you're probably going to lose Tim Kelly. You're looking at Jack Stephen and other midfield contingencies. Geez, I'd be having a good look at Sean Higgins. And I don't think he'd cost you a first round draft pick because of his age. Or do you think he's that important to North Melbourne that they pay him the big money to keep him?
Well, it's an interesting one. So you think he wants an extension because he's a little bit concerned that maybe he might be on the trade table?
Well, I think he wants some security before it gets to this year's trade table. Before it gets to this year's trade period. So he's contracted for next season on decent money. He's shown how good a player he is. And when you're Geelong and you're probably going to lose Gary Ablett next year, it finishes up most likely at the end of the year.
Tim Kelly.
He's a perfect sort of addition, isn't he?
I'm just thinking about the Kangaroos. I mean, he's a star. So, of course, you want to play like him on your side. But
and they're looking
for the Kangaroos thing. Depends where they can get what someone comes back to the Kangaroos with. That's where you've got to weigh it up.
Here we go.
Well, we're not winning a flag in the next year or two while Higgins is playing. Do we maybe get a first-round pick for a Sean Higgins? Someone might take a risk. It's in the premiership window.
Pick 20. Would you take it for him? If you were North Melbourne, pick 20
for
Sean Higgins.
I don't like these draft picks. Because
he's only probably got a couple of years.
He does.
They're building for the future, aren't they? They need gun young talent. And Higgins wants to stay. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like these pick 20s because you just don't know what you're going to get with pick 20. You don't
it's a lottery,
necessarily know
isn't
you're
it?
Getting it. I'd rather have Higgins for two, maybe three more years and keep him at the club.
Let's go with some more player movement, starting off with Brad Hill.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be at Fremantle next year. He came out this week and refuted a trade report, but I don't think he'll be there. His partner wants to come home to Melbourne. If I'm St Kilda, you know, they've got some foot soldiers on the inside. They need some class and some speed on the outside. They've got the money to pay him, so it's 800 grand or thereabouts. I think St Kilda come up with a way by swapping their pick for other picks, Joey, to get Brad Hill. And on top of that, I just wonder whether Harley Bunnell is a bit of a package deal.
Oh, it's a package deal.
So, well,
it doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be. They get him for free. But I just wonder, as a duo, the former Fremantle teammates could come and sit on your wing. Fascinating what's happening with him.
Harley Bunnell.
Yeah. Because he's seen a surgeon in Geelong who's 100% confident he's fixed his problem. There was a nerve pressing on a tendon in both calves. He's going to have a second bout of surgery in about a fortnight. He's going to meet a Melbourne club in about a fortnight. And when you can pick him up for nothing in through this supplemental selection period, why don't you have a free
year? That's what I think. I think one of the clubs should just ask him to come and train with them over summer. You get a good look at him with his injuries, his fitness levels, and then you've now got this window in January where if you keep a spot on your list, you can take him for nothing. So I think there'll be suitors out there to try and get him to be a train-on player over the summer with the option of adding him to that SPP list in the new year. So I think there's still a chance.
Richmond, perfect. Essendon,
I think heaps of clubs.
Melbourne could do with the outside
pull
run.
It off. Look, St Kilda should take a risk.
If he's not on an AFL list next year, Harley Bunnell, Joey.
No, but it depends on his calves.
You're banking on
not doing another calf injury.
Well, one of the best calf gurus in the country is certain he's fixed the issue. He saw the scans and said, there's your problem. We'll relieve
that
pressure.
So why didn't Fremantle ever see him?
Oh, boy.
But he didn't have the guru.
They didn't have the guru.
Interesting.
What about Paddy Ryder?
He can accept a one-year deal on about $350 to stay at Port Adelaide for next year, or does GWS offer him two times $500,000 a year? They're going to lose John Patton, remember, and help support Shane Mumford in the ruck. This is going to be up to Paddy and his family. Does he take a one-year deal on less money or move his whole family interstate again for a bit more extra cash?
Why not St Kilda? Because I'm thinking about Port Adelaide and Paddy Ryder. Peter Laddams played last week, who Ken Hinckley obviously rates. He was very good. Obviously, Lysett's there on a long-term deal and a very good player. So Paddy Ryder looks like he's third in line, has a couple of years to go. St Kilda were asking about Todd Goldstein. Why wouldn't they ask about Paddy Ryder and get him for 2 years?
Look at Roel Marshall. Does St Kilda
I know that. But if you've been on this show, you're saying they've been after Sam Draper, the untried rookie at Essendon, they've been after Todd Goldstein. So clearly they're in the market for another ruckman, which they do need another ruckman because Billy Longo, Lewis Pearce look like their time might be up. So someone like a Paddy Ryder for 2 years to work alongside Roel Marshall, give him a bit of a chop out, could play potentially forward ruck. Why not?
And you get him for a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, exactly.
For nothing
right.
for St Kilda.
Yep.
Jay-Z, we've got some breaking news about Richmond.
And massive news too, Emma. Dustin Martin, the superstar midfielder, is out of the game versus Carlton at the MCG tomorrow. Joey, Jack Ross in. Bit sore, our boy Dusty, the Brownlow medalist.
Do you know how many people's supercoach teams that kills?
Many.
He's in my supercoach team and I'm in a semi-final.
You look flat. But what an opportunity for David Teague. If the Carlton interim coach can knock off the Tigers without Dusty and Trent Cotchin tomorrow, what a massive shot in the arm that is for his coaching credentials.
It's time for the big one. KO with JT. So the Dead Set Legends are giving away the ultimate experience to play knockout with the NBA's Jason Tatum. We've got our callers on the line. You could win the opportunity to play KO with him. A signed jersey, a signed ball, a vent tee and cap, a photo with JT. It's all valued at $1,500. Don't miss Play KO with Jason Tatum on August 21, presented by Burger Love Australia. Tickets available now through Eventbrite. We're doing it via a quiz. Are we ready?
Ready to go.
So it's a shooting competition. You get to stand on the court and shoot hoops with Jason Tatum.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's massive. Absolutely awesome, all this right. Prize. It's a best of three questions. So you've got to get to the third question answer.
Yep. If you know your NBA, you should get them.
And I'm going to be quick. Got to be quick.
Yep.
Going to be brutal.
Jay-Z's on the buzzer.
No Googling.
Okay. You ready, Joey, with the questions at hand?
Yes, got him.
Jay-Z, you ready with the buzzer?
I'm ready.
Let's start off. Ben with Scoresby, your first cab off the rank.
G'day, Ben. Yeah. Mate, if you follow the NBA, you'll know this. Who just went pick number one in the recent 2019 NBA draft?
Yep, that would be... Oh, I'm just having a mental blank.
Sorry, Ben. No time for mental blanks. This is an easy one.
Yeah.
Zach from Darley, you're next.
Zach, who went pick one in the recent 2019 NBA draft?
No, I got no idea.
Sorry. We want basketball fans to call
Brad
up.
Brad from Kilsyth.
Brad, who went pick one in the recent 2019 NBA draft?
Was it Zion Williams?
Yes, good man. You know your basketball. Question two. Which NBA superstar has just joined James Harden at the Houston Rockets?
That will be Russell Westbrook.
Good man. All right, you know your basketball. This one's a little bit trickier, but if you've been following, you should be okay. Which NBA All-Star is effectively replacing Kyrie Irving as a teammate of Jason Tatum's at the Boston Celtics?
Kemba Walker.
Yes, well done, Brad.
Brad.
That's who we wanted to win it. A basketball Boom. Fan. Beautiful.
Congratulations,
you obviously love
mate.
The NBA, Brad.
Yep, definitely do.
Mate, well, you're going to have a shoot around with Jason Tatum. I hope you knock him off. And you get all the other bits that go with it.
Signed jersey, signed ball, vent tee cap, photo with Jason Tatum, valued at $1,500.
Yeah.
Well done, mate. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations.
That was nice to give it to an NBA fan. I agree.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Can I tee off?
Yep.
Can I start?
Go for it.
Right. This polar vortex that we're all being involved in at the moment is giving us all a bit of winter depression. I tell you what my give me a spell is. It's not the polar vortex.
Go on.
It's the people in Europe who are taking all these bloody photos of their Aperol spritzers and the striped umbrellas in Europe.
Yeah.
Give me a spell. We know you're overseas.
Yep.
We know you're enjoying a European vacay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't rub it in my face. I'm freezing. Just enjoy it solo. Just don't let the world know about it. Give me a spell.
And that shot, you know, you're laying on the beach and you know, they take the photo of their own legs.
Yeah, glistening.
You have to be pretty confident in the shape of your own legs, don't you?
Just really rubbing it in. That's what social media does these days. You know, I'm not just having a holiday enjoying my time. I'm going to rub it in everyone else's faces that's stuck in the cold weather in Melbourne.
Good one.
Hating on themselves. Good one, Emma. Well, mine's sort of on a similar path because I want to give me a spell. Really, it's to the world with, and anyone that's fallen for these rumours that we're hearing in AFL circles this week, Jay. There's been a lot of talk about this Collingwood rumour that so many people have asked. It must be true. Got to be asking. Even Josh Jenkins punching up Don Pike.
Yep.
That rumor. Seriously, the world's gone mad that everyone now can throw out a rumour, and because of social media, because of the way the world works, it gets everyone hears about it, and all these people think it's real. Like, give me a spell. Don't people have common sense anymore
and
understand that someone can just throw a rumour out and anyone can just take a hold of it? Give me a spell. It's doing my head in. Stop asking about it. There are a lot of rumours that get thrown around in footy circles. Divide them by about 100 and you're still getting not even close.
Hey, can I do the Dead Set Legend of the Week?
Oh, you want to take
Dead Set Legend?
Excuse me. Did you ask permission?
It's a takeover, Joe, because I think I found the story of the year in Americans. If you love your American sports, you'll love this. So Cleveland Browns punt returner Damon Sheehy Giuseppe, he was a very good player at junior college level, Joey.
Junior
he had
college?
Speed, yeah. So he's a punt returner. He runs really fast, but then couldn't get a look in anywhere, any trial, any tryout for 2 years. So tried this division, no good. Next division, no good. Lower division, no good. So after 2 years of all these failed tryouts, by this stage, he's run out of money. He's sleeping outside. He's really could have given up many times, right? He a mate of a mate says, oh, the Cleveland Browns are having this tryout. He talks his way into this tryout with the Cleveland Browns at NFL level, shows enough, gets another gig at their next tryout, gets onto the squad, and last night, the bloke who could have given up so many times scored a touchdown for the Cleveland Browns in a preseason game, running goodness knows how long on the field, a long way. All his teammates absolutely mobbed him.
What's his name again?
Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. Google it.
Sounds like it's got movie written all over
it. It's amazing.
It sounds like there's a movie. There is a movie coming if this man can play. That's a great story. Next time, ask permission if you're going to steal my Dead Set Legend of the Week, by the way.
Good on you. Final results of our pick one public vote. Ooh. Brody Grundy, Adam Treloar, and Sam Walsh, convincing winners there.
Yes,
okay?
Well done, Charlie. Good ones.
So they
very
good. Agree with you there. We have got plenty more coming up next week. Enjoy the rest of round 21. Of course, Melbourne taking on Collingwood from the G very shortly. But stay with us. The Saturday Rub is up next on 105.1 Triple M.